Good morning. How good it is, as always, to be together in this place in a spirit of worship. A welcome, especially to those who are visiting with us for the first time, but a welcome to all who gather this morning. It is important that each of you know, and I'm going to say it week in and week out, as we always have, that no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are and, most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. In your pews, if you are a visitor who's here with us for the first time, there are tan cards with a little mouse on them, a visitor card for you to fill out if you would take time to do that. There's also a basket in the back, right by Anne. Wave your hand, Anne. It's right back there that you can place that card in as you exit the sanctuary this morning, just so that we can learn a bit more about you and we can be in touch so you can learn a bit more about us. I have quite a few announcements. It is summertime, but things do not slow down. So, one more announcement about our Vacation Bible School, our VBS, Volunteer, Believe, Serve opportunities. There is yet another insert in your bulletin. Please take time to read about this. It's a unique kind of thing that we're doing this summer as our VBS program. And there are four sign-up sheets for each there's four different opportunities, and there's a sign-up for each in the narthex. There are some age requirements for some of them, but there is an opportunity for everyone, old and young. So please take time to read through that and join us. Many people over the years have asked for some more outreach opportunities so that St. John's could be a presence in the community. So this is our answer to that. So please do take time, and especially to sign up so that we know who is interested and will be joining us. As we announced last week, there is a Lansdale Garden Tour happening next Saturday, July 9th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. In attendance that day will be our own Marie Carota, a member of our choir, a member of our church, for a personal signing of her new children's book. St. John's Gardens will be on that tour, as will the gardens of Pat and Ken Riker. So please take time out of your weekend next weekend to join us for the Lansdale 150th Anniversary Garden Tour. All right, you may have noticed on your way in either entrance that we have new carpet, which is exciting. but that does mean that our nursery this morning is out of commission. They will be finishing up the carpet next week, so lots of their tools and extra supplies are being housed in the nursery. So just for this morning, we will not have the nursery available. One more announcement. Our umbrella ministry is looking for volunteers to greet people and hold doors and, of course, occasionally provide an umbrella to those who enter via our ramp entrance in the back. You may have, one of our umbrella ministry people may have greeted you sometime. If you would be interested in signing up for that, there is a sign-up sheet in the hallway of bulletin boards. But if you have questions or interest or would just like to talk to someone, that would be Samiko. Raise a hand, Samiko. She's here today. So please consider that. I believe those are all of our announcements this morning. Lots of things to keep in mind. Lots of opportunities await us. But I don't know about you. I can always use a deep breath. So I'm going to invite us to, together, take a deep and slow and very intentional breath. As we breathe in God's Spirit that surrounds us, as we exhale and set aside all of those announcements, all of the things that are begging for our attention and our worry and our concern, as we find ourselves present in this time and in this place and with these people, and as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you.
Okay, so before we do the reflection on the theme, there was one more announcement that I wanted to make, and I even had it nicely typed up for myself, and that is that it is July 4th weekend, and I do want to take a moment to acknowledge that. You heard some patriotic songs being played on the chimes. We do take a moment now to acknowledge that and the freedoms that we have to enjoy worshiping in this place, doing what we do. We, of course, think of all the life that has been lost and all that has been sacrificed to get to this point. And as we recognize how far we have come together, we also take time to recognize how far we have to go together. There is still yet more work to be done. It also felt like an appropriate Sunday to recognize that both the Christian and the American flags in our chancel have been recently replaced, thanks to Leroy Horst and a generous donation from the Men's Breakfast Group. These symbols are not front and center in our worship space, but they are here to remind us of the freedom that we have to worship, and most importantly, to not take that freedom for granted. So I just wanted to name that so that you didn't go through the whole service and think, does she know it's July 4th weekend? And now we reflect on this morning's theme. Last week, you may remember, we were challenged to do the thing that we think we cannot do, and to remember that we cannot do it without God. But what if God is the one calling you to do the thing that you think you cannot do? The thing you feel utterly unqualified for, or the last person you would ever think to complete a task or face a challenge? Our theme this morning is surprising prophets. And I wonder, have you ever been surprised to be called to do something, or to fill a role, or share an opinion? Or perhaps you've been surprised at how you responded, how you stepped up and stepped in, how you said yes. We hear a lot about prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, people who were regarded as inspired teachers or proclaimers of the will of God. But they were also people who were more often than not on the edges of society. They looked different, they lived differently, and they shared things with the world that the world wasn't quite ready to hear. They were surprising people. The truth is, I really believe all of us are prophets, because God equips each and every one of us in different and unique ways to be inspired teachers and proclaimers of the will of God. It's not always formal or fancy. It's not always a big announcement or to-do, and it is often surprising. But each of us knows and experiences God in a way that only we can, and we have a responsibility to share that with one another. Maybe we are a prophet through our writing, or through leading, or through organizing, or through visiting, or through prayer shawl knitting, or perhaps through the way you speak to others, the spirit you share, the way in which you live in the world. No matter what the way, may we be aware of the prophet within each of us and the prophets around us. May we dare to listen, may we dare to act, may we dare to continue to be surprised by the ways in which God calls us and uses us. Amen. I invite you to join with me as we confess our sins together by praying the prayer that is printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. God, we know that Jesus sent his disciples out into the world without all of the stuff that we think we need. He knew that all they needed was a welcoming spirit, a willing heart, open ears, and peace to share with those they met along the journey. We confess that we live in a scarcity mindset, fearing the day when we aren't prepared and don't have what we think we need to succeed. All too often, we find ourselves clinging to possessions, looking for safety by avoiding risk, and bearing heavy burdens that slow us down. Forgive us for our reluctance to live into your abundance, which has nothing to do with money, programs, or possessions. Give us the mindfulness it takes to love and serve freely and joyfully, knowing that you give us all we need to share your good news. Remind us that you are most often found in the simple tasks and ordinary experiences of everyday life, and that you use ordinary people like us to do your work in the world. Amen. Friends, when we confess our sins, when we ask for help, when we claim our mistakes, we are forgiven. God gives us an infinite amount of chances to do the work, to help and to serve one another with good hearts and with true intentions. God is a God of redemption, of renewal, of grace, and most importantly, of deep, deep love. May we accept these gifts. May we live with them. May we live into them. May they change who we are and the way we live in this world. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading is from Psalm 30. It is a song for the dedication of the Temple of David. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. And our New Testament comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, and verses 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on them. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me.' The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Indeed, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" And at this time, I'd like to call Abby Lamp up for the children's sermon. Abby, are you coming?
I'll be there in a minute. I'm not quite ready yet. Yeah, could you help me with it? Because I have a lot of things I have to bring. That would be really, really can you take that for me? That's great. Okay. And I'm going on vacation, and I want to make sure that I have everything that I might need, because, you know, you've got to be prepared for these things. And this bag, this big blue bag here, well, that's got my books, because I like to read, and it's got my coloring books, and I, you know, because I just might want to color when I'm on vacation. And this red bag, well, that's got my blanket and my stuffed animal, because I can't sleep without them. And then this bag over here, this white one, that's got my towels, because I might be going to the beach, you never know. And of course, my floaty, because you can't go to the beach without your floaty, right? And I have, in this one, my soap and my towels and my toothbrush and toilet paper, because you never know when you might not, you need that stuff, right? And I might see Mickey Mouse, you never know. So I've got my mouse ears on just in case. And oh yeah, my clothes are in this bag. So and now I think I'm ready.
Abby, I'm just thinking, don't you remember what I just read? Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals.
Oh, well, you know, come to think of it, last year I took all of this stuff too, and most of it stayed in the bag the whole time I was on vacation, and it was in the way. And then I just had to bring it all back home again and put it all away again. So I was dragging a lot of stuff that I didn't need. That's a good point, Miss Grace. Yeah. But you know, there's one thing I forgot to pack, and that's faith. And I think that's what the people who Jesus sent out had. They didn't need all their stuff with them. They had faith that what Jesus told them was true, and that they were going to deliver the word of God to all these other people. And sure enough, when they came back, they were right. They didn't take any of their stuff with them, but they had faith that people would take care of them along the way and listen to them, and so they could deliver God's word without all the stuff that they would have normally brought with them. So let's pray and see if we can remember those things too. Thank you, God, for giving us vacations and time to be away, but also remembering that we don't need a lot of stuff when we're there to relax. Thank you for giving us Jesus, reminding us that faith is what will carry us through. And thank you for teaching us the prayer we all will say together: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, as we think about what it means to pack our peace with us so that we might share your good news, I pray that your word, the word that we need to hear, might be in the midst of mine. Amen. If you're wondering how you have such a calm and poised leader up front, it is because over the course of the last year, I have begun practicing yoga at a yoga studio near my house in Sellersville. It has provided me with a place to relax, to stretch, to focus on my breathing, which we all need to do more of, to decompress from a world that seems to be adding stressors by the day. And one of the teachers I have had during that time begins and ends our time together with these words: peace in, peace out. Words that remind us that cultivating peace within ourselves is the only way to be peaceful people out in the world. And likewise, our inner sense of peace is shaped by what is going on around us. If I could sum up my yoga experience, it would be all about this relationship between inside and outside, soul and body, how our inner spirits feel, and how we show up to go about our lives in the world. Peace in, peace out. This is also, for me, the heart of why I believe in church. In fact, if I could sum up our experience, our practice of learning, growing, worshiping, stretching, practicing our faith, it too would be about a relationship between inside and outside, soul and body, how our inner spirits feel, and how we show up to go about our lives in the world. Peace in, peace out. That is the disciple experience. In the story we heard this morning from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus sends his followers out in twos to villages and towns to spread the gospel. There were 12 disciples to account for the gospel being shared with the 12 tribes of Israel. Now Jesus sends out over 70, 72 representatives for the multitudes of the nations beyond Israel. Jesus sends these followers out to share the good news of God's love and peace with the whole world. No one is to be left out. With peace in, no distractions, no stuff to weigh them down, demonstrating their full dependence on God. These pairs peace out into the world, bringing God's peace to those who were ready to receive it. You see, Jesus senses that the time is ripe. People are ready, hungry for the realm of God. It was hard work, this harvest, as is any harvest, and Jesus doesn't mince words about it. He sends these pairs out on to what he knows is a very difficult mission. They are to take very little with them. They are not to move around among households looking for the best quarters. They are to accept what they are given to eat, whatever it may be, kosher or not. They are to stay focused. They are to expect rejection and ridicule along the way. If you are not welcome, Jesus says, shake the dust off of your feet and move on. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Not quite the blessing we hope for as we go anywhere, but the harvest is of absolute importance. It is all-consuming. It requires sacrifice and self-discipline. It requires stretching and listening and hoping against all odds. And yet Jesus encourages them, the time is now, the harvest is ready, the people are ripe. I've lost count of how many times over the course of the last 2 or 3 years I have heard people say, okay, this is it, this must be the end of the world. As unbelievable thing after unbelievable thing took place, we look at the world around us, and we see many signs of just how ripe we are for the harvest that Jesus is talking about today. I'm almost afraid to open my phone and read the news each morning, fearing another calamity has occurred since I went to bed the night before. The attacks, the murders, the social upheaval, the hate, the strife are alarming. There are racial tensions, ethnic tensions, political tensions, religious tensions. There's economic distress, environmental issues that are boiling slowly and not so slowly, creating tension and conflict. The world seems to be seething with animosities and stresses. We are a world at war with ourselves, and we live in a culture of fear of our own creation. Now, some respond to this by wanting to dial back the clock to when things were better. But when were they really better? Better for some, maybe, but certainly not better for all. What we see around us is a world that is ripe, ready, prime for harvest. I truly believe that we are a people who are desperately in search of peace in, and therefore desperately lacking peace out. The world is longing for inward and outward peace, for reconciliation, for a way forward that is based on compassion, not conflict. We, as people of faith and as followers of Christ, we must believe that we have something that the world is missing, the world is longing for, or rather, we believe Christ does. The time is ripe for us to be spreading the gospel, just as we heard the 72 went out to do in our story today. The world, I believe, is desperate to receive peace, to witness universal love, and to feel the realm of God come close. The world needs what the church has to offer, and yet, our gospel lesson does not include Jesus telling those he sends out to convince, to clobber, to argue, to overpower, and to ultimately win. I am reminded, as I have been so many times before, of the beautiful words of Madeleine L'Engle. We draw people to Christ, not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. I know that in the UCC, we don't talk a whole lot about evangelism because that has connotations we aren't super keen on. Historically, the church is known for evangelism that includes convincing people that they are sinners and they are wrong, and that Jesus died for their sin, and by accepting him and following the rules, they will be forgiven and given eternal life after they die. The church has often seen itself as a keeper of the truth, a holder honor of the truth. You come to us, you believe what we believe, you win, rather than one that goes out and gives away the light that we have found. You see, our call is not to hold on to the truth. Our call as people of faith is to be held by the truth in all that we say, in all that we do, in all that we are. Let's think about our story we heard this morning. These followers are sent out into the world with a very specific call, a simple call, to offer peace, to embody peace, to breathe peace in for themselves and to send peace out for all, wherever they go, into whoever's house they enter, whoever they meet along the way. Demonstrating peace by their behavior, material simplicity, acceptance, sharing, working together. By embodying peace, justice, respect, compassion, and generosity, they are showing people, by the way they live, what the realm of God is like. They are offering another way, a new worldview, a way to be in right relationship with others, even those considered enemy. Even under Roman occupation, even in times of distress and fear, they are demonstrating reverence for God, for nature and for all humankind. They are staying on with the people and helping them to create communities bonded by this vision of life as God intends it. They are telling a different story, sharing a light so lovely, bringing peace to the world at a time when it is desperately needed. I truly believe this is the call of the church and all the people who are the church today. Each week, when we pray our prayer of confession together, and I assure you of God's forgiveness and love, you hear words of hope that these gifts of God will change the way we live in this world. Knowing God, following Christ, needs to make us different. It needs to inspire us to tell a different story. Just as Jesus encouraged the 72, people ought to know we are Christians by the peace we bring and by the love we show. As St. Francis of Assisi writes in one of my favorite quotes, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." We need to be cultivating peace within ourselves and within our church communities so that we can bring peace out into the world. We need to be boldly living into our commitment to the realm of God, where all people are seen as beloved children of God, vital, accepted, and free. People need to hear and see that there are ways for us to come back from the brink, that we can be guided by a different vision, that we can move forward not with might and force, but with mutual respect and understanding. We can show that success lies in service, not in self-interest. Some people will see this as deranged or a little pie in the sky, but just as evil is getting louder in the world, good must come out of hiding from behind the rock and stand up and be counted. The time is ripe. We must not wait. The stakes are too high. We heard the story of the missionaries going out into the world for harvest, but let's also pay attention to their return. Did they come back discouraged, defeated, depressed? No. We're told that they returned to Jesus filled with joy, having sensed that evil was defeated by their working and traveling and listening and relationship building and abiding. Jesus didn't ask for a roster of people that they recruited, the number of souls they saved. There was no attendance taken or lists made or top sellers identified. They are amazed at their harvest, even though they didn't have much to show for it yet. Traditionally, the church has thought of the harvest as bringing people into the church, to maintain the church, to prosper the institution. A successful church is one who has the most people in the pews. In this story, however, we see the church taking the gospel out. Success in this story, in the eyes of Christ, looks like sending, going, sharing peace, giving away the light, the knowledge, the salvation that they have. I spoke with someone recently who said that in my job, I must be lucky. I get to see miracles, positive transformations, and the good in people on a regular basis. And that's true. But being a part of the church, it's not just the clergy's experience, it's everyone's experience. There is a church in Hershey where I grew up who has this sign at the exit of its parking lot. "You are now entering the mission field." When we are a part of a faith community, we take the gospel out into the world, and then we come back each week to learn and grow and recharge for our next sending out into our mission field, wherever it may be. We experience the joy, not the worldly success, the joy that the disciples experienced. Not from our own power or accomplishments, but because we feel we are partnering with God, with the divine intention and purpose for the world, in lessening the destructive forces at work and fostering and cultivating and nurturing the good. We are a part of something far greater than ourselves, and we are not alone in the work. Peace in, peace out. The world desperately needs peace. In every city and town, in every land and country, in every culture and climate, peace. As followers of Jesus, we are being sent out to meet this need. We are being called to the harvest. No elaborate preparations necessary. Go and bring peace. Let people know there is another way, that the realm of God has come near no matter what. It is at hand. God's work may be strenuous and demanding. It will stretch us and awaken us, but it is ultimately meaningful and satisfying, life-changing. It makes all the difference. The harvest is ready. May we travel lightly, leaving behind expectations and worldly measures of success, packing only the peace of Christ. Peace in, peace out. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
We have a few joys and concerns written in our book today. A joy, Sarah Hogan celebrated a birthday last week. And concerns, we keep Christine Wiley in our prayers as she recovers from surgery and prepares for more this week. And we continue to hold Dennis and Betty Canfield and their family in our prayers as they recover and anticipate some transitions ahead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this nation. Right now, we take this time to thank you for the many freedoms and blessings that we have been given. We thank you for the freedom we have to worship you and share the gospel without fear of death. We thank you for the opportunity to work, study, and play. We thank you for food to eat, clothes to wear, and a roof over our heads. We thank you for men and women who have sacrificed their lives on the battlefield to secure the freedoms and blessings that we now enjoy. We thank you for teachers who work tirelessly to educate the next generation of our nation's citizens and leaders. We thank you for friendships that enrich our lives and for families and loved ones who love us unconditionally. Most of all, we thank you for freedom from sin and for the grace and power to live for you. May we never take for granted the liberties we have been given. May we remain humble and conscious of the blessings we enjoy because of the sacrifices made by countless men and women. We thank you for the abundance we enjoy. We celebrate with Sarah as she celebrates her birthday. May we be sensitive to those around us who are in need, and may our hearts be quick to help when we have the means to do so. Be with Christine, Dennis, and Betty. Surround them with your healing hands. We pray for our leaders, for those placed in authority over us. We ask that you guide every decision they make. May they lead us with wisdom, humility, and grace. We pray for your great healing on our land. Shine your face on us, dear God. We need you now more than ever before. Our times are in your hands. In this moment of silence, hear what is in our own hearts. Bless our nation with your peace. May your love flow through each one of us, and may we never forget to give you thanks always. May you receive the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we move into our time of offering this morning, hopefully you had a chance to place your offering in the plates as you entered this morning. If you didn't, a reminder, you're always welcome to come up after the service and place it up front. I know some people miss putting it in or have a hard time putting it in and grabbing a bulletin, so please feel free to do that. I invite you now to stand as we sing our doxology together and bring forward and dedicate our offerings. And gracious and giving God, we thank you for these many gifts, for the hearts and the hands that offered them, and for the spirit in which they were given. Take all that has been shared this day and transform it. Grant us discernment and wisdom as we use these gifts. May we truly reflect you. May we offer your peace in all that we do and in all that we are. Help us to invest in one another, in our community, and to always be on the lookout for ways to partner with you in service to others. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As you go from this place out into the world, you are indeed entering the mission field, Christ's mission, to go out into the world and to bring peace, to shine a light so lovely that all will want to know its source. So as you go, may you be filled with the love of God, with the peace of Christ, and with the power of God's Holy Spirit as you answer God's call, as you do that work, and as you enter into the mission that awaits each and all of us. Amen.